I'm Bill Whitley.
And I'm Steve Wilmer.
And this is the October episode of your Agency Ideas and Inspiration digital magazine.
This is your source for ideas, inspiration, and strategies that's going to help you grow your agency.
And Steve, speaking of inspiration and strategies, I know you've just rolled out a new program, the Life Six Pack. Tell us about that.
You know what, Bill? I'm so excited about it because agents were always calling, asking about how to sell more life insurance. So this is amazing, and we've already had several top agents take advantage of it. They're going to receive six training sessions. We're talking about two live video training calls each month focused on selling more life insurance with more premium. Think about it. It's the end of the year. It's time to finish strong and have a great carryover for 2021.
All right, Steve, if they want to know more about this, what do you want them to do?
Want to know more about it? You mean, what if they want to enroll and get started, right? Think about it, guys. This is an opportunity to work personally with either myself or Tim Harrington. So reach out to me by email, steve@riskadvisorinstitute.com, or give me a call, send me a text, 850-292-6729.
Steve, I got to tell you, I just love how efficient this is because there's so many agents that leave their bonus money on the table because they don't sell enough life insurance.
Amen, brother. Listen, agents, if you are tired of leaving bonus money on the table, please reach out to me. We are having so much fun. Agents are writing so much more life insurance. So, guys, it is time to get started. So, put your seatbelts on. Click, click. Here we go.
And now, here's our In the Trenches segment.
Hi, this is Bill Whitley. I'm the host of the Risk Advisor Mastermind Group. And for our In the Trenches segment, I'm so excited to welcome Heather Lowry, who works for the Laurie Watkins Agency in Alta Vista, Virginia. Now, Heather is in the process of moving from service to sales, and very initially, just in her moving over process, she sold six life policies in 2 weeks. I can't wait to hear about that. So, Heather, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Heather, give us a little blow-by-blow. How'd you do it? Tell us about moving from service to sales, and how'd you make the six life sales?
Sure. We actually started doing the Risk Advisor app when I first started working here. And so I did, you know, partially sales, and I did focus on making phone calls daily and things like that. But I was mostly focused on customer service in the beginning, where I just, you know, took payments and, you know, followed up with people and did binders and, you know, stuff like that. But then we started doing the infantry training school, actually, and it got me way more motivated and way more focused on sales and being more sales driven, so that during customer service, you know, when people were calling and asking, you know, questions or calling to even make a payment, each person and every person that I talked to, I would pivot to something, anything, whatever they didn't have.
Great. That is fantastic. So anyway, you started in service, started using the app, then you guys went through infantry training school, and it really got you focused on how to pivot and start to make some sales. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And then from there, your agents promoted you, and now you're in 100% sales.
I am, yes.
And then you made six life sales in 2 weeks. So tell us about the life sales. How'd you do it?
Four of them were with one female. She came in to cancel a vehicle.
Wow.
And I kind of asked her, I never really talked to her before, and I just pivoted and kind of went into it a little bit about the Your World presentation and told her that we're a little bit different from other companies. We help people manage their everyday risks. And I told her an example, and then I kind of just eased on into the Your World presentation. And by the time we were finished talking, I had a Your World diagram done, and she literally just came in to cancel something. And it was just amazing. It was perfect because I've been focusing on that infantry training and that Your World presentation, and it came to fruition. She said, you know, I've got, you know, four kids, and I'm sorry, she has three kids and herself with no life insurance. And so, yeah.
Oh, that is fantastic. So you went from a policyholder who came in to cancel an auto, and now I'm sure she's retaining her auto with you guys and now has purchased 4 life policies.
Exactly. Yep.
That is fantastic. And that's what a powerful representation of what your world's possible to do. I tell everybody, if you learn your world, the very first thing that happens is the customer says, thank you. The second thing that happens is that they will rarely ever leave you. Third thing that happens is they buy more from you. And fourth thing happens is they'll tell their friends about you. So you're really the testament to all that. So that is great news. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell me, I'm curious about the app. I always love to hear people who really take advantage of the app. What parts of it do you use the most, or what's been the most helpful to you?
The most that I listen to are the objectives, the life training objectives.
Or the objections, how to overcome objections.
Objections, yes. Yeah. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. Yes, my favorite thing to listen to is definitely the objections. And that is because I hear those every single day, all day long. I've used those myself. And I think Steve just has an excellent way of accepting what they're saying and congratulating them. That was that's what's been taught mostly, and then turning it around to making them think about what they need, honestly.
Yeah, excellent. He is so gifted at that, and oh my gosh, I'm thrilled to hear you're using that. So my next question is, are there any particular habits that you've put in place or have had all your life that have allowed you to start to be so successful in sales?
I have been in sales for a while, most of my life. And I think, even if you're in customer service, you're kind of in a sales role because you have to, maintain that partnership, if you will, with your customer. So I've always been very personable, and I've always been kind of a nerd to the point where I'm driven to exceed any goals that are given to me. Mm-hmm. I do have a lot of self-discipline as far as staying focused at work and, MMAs, which is something that's brought up in infantry training school, which is money-making activities. I do include that in my daily schedule now. That is another major habit that is beneficial to me. I actually have on my Outlook calendar a schedule throughout the day of, okay, these 2 hours I'm going to spend working on trying to schedule your world appointments with current customers. And these 2 hours I'm going to spend on following up on quotes that I've already sent to new customers and new leads. So a lot of it's infantry training school that's become new habits, along with just my personal, motivation.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, that sounds great. And I'm thrilled to hear that. Tell me my next question. Are there any particular tools? You mentioned the app, you mentioned your world, but I'm just curious, are there any particular tools that you feel like is really allowing you to be successful in sales?
Absolutely. Being that most of the people that listen to this are State Farm, I believe, I do use ECRM quite regularly. It is my precious baby. I use it for my opportunities. I update it. I give great detail in my logs. I create tasks for every single opportunity and customer so that I follow up with them and I know what I'm talking about because of those detailed logs. And that is my, it's hard to remember, 150 customers or 500 customers. I have, I think, over 600 right now in my little bank here. So it's hard to remember what you talked about last and who they are and what it was. So using that, it really helps to pull up their information and know who you're talking to and about what.
Yeah. Oh, I'm thrilled to hear that. And by the way, I'm the exact same way. I feel like I don't have a very good memory, but I'm a really, really good note taker. And yes. I just about write down everything I say to somebody or whatever they say to me. And it's so helpful to be able to pull that up and see what you talked about last time and remember. So way to go. What about Lori is your agent? Are there any particular things Lori's done that have helped you been successful?
There's so much, but I will try to to make it make it quick. She is amazing. We have morning meetings every morning for about a half hour before work or before the office opens. We go over, you know, any little updates or stuff that we need. We also we usually do 5-minute drills. That's from infantry training school, and 5-minute no drills rather. And we also usually pray right before work, and then we open the office doors and start our day.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So the morning huddle or that morning meeting is really helpful. Anything else? You mentioned there's so many. I'd love to hear just a couple examples.
Absolutely. We have a weekly competition in our office. It includes a cash incentive and a bonus if we sell a certain amount of policies each that week. And if we sell so many different kinds of policies, we get a bonus for it. But we also have a trophy, and it's called the KT3 trophy. It's called that for kick tail this time. And we have it on our desk. Whoever wins that week gets to keep it for the week following until there's another winner. So we kind of have a nice friendly, sometimes friendly competition.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, in growing up, I was in Boy Scouts, and we had 6 different patrols, and we'd go on these camping trips, and our scoutmaster had this thing called the Red Lantern. And it was just a simple oil lamp. It was a red lantern. And he'd go around, and whoever set up their campsite the best, you know, they had the best fire pit, and the tent was pitched properly, and the tripod and all the stuff, whichever patrol made the best looking campsite got the Red Lantern Award. And it was a big deal, you know, to be the patrol that got the Red Lantern, and you kept it for an entire month until the next camp out. Wow. And yeah, you know, just what a simple thing, one little old red lantern, and we're all working like crazy to compete for it. So way to go, exactly. Lori. That is brilliant. We're about out of time, but I'd like any of those are such great ideas with the morning meeting and the little friendly competition. Anything else you think she's doing that's really helping you?
Yeah, absolutely. She encourages teamwork, of course, and I think that our office is a little different again, that if I am talking to somebody that I've quoted and a team member has also quoted something else, like another product with them, they've talked to, you know, about it in the past with them, we usually pull up, hey, okay, I know Ryan talked to you about life insurance last week. Have you taken a look at that quote? What do you think? Or what questions do you have? So we really have a close bond as a team, and so we help each other with our sales. We're not stingy in that way.
That is fantastic. What a nice coordinated effort. Heather, thank you so much for this interview. I know that our Mastermind member is going to really enjoy hearing it. And just one last question I'll ask, and that's just sort of an open-ended. Is there anything that I did not ask you that you'd like to share with our Mastermind members?
I don't think so. I think everybody that's gone on before, you know, it's very encouraging, and I really enjoy the app itself, and I enjoy listening to you guys, and you're very encouraging and uplifting, and I love it. So, no, I think you've covered it.
Fantastic. Well, Heather, thank you so much. It has been a real pleasure chatting with you today, and I look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
For our Motivational Minute, here's Steve Wilmer.
You know, Bill, the In the Trenches segment was amazing. Heather Lowry is amazing. I love communicating back and forth with her. So when you were asking her about the things that she did in order to be successful, she talked about a lot of different things, the process they follow. But one of the things that really stood out to me was her discipline. She said it is the self-discipline. Now think about this, guys. She just moved from service to sales. I want you guys to realize this, that everyone is in sales. Think about this. When your customer comes into the office to meet with you, they are either selling you on why they don't need life insurance, or you are either selling them on why they should have it. You've got to ask yourself, who is the expert? You see, I have a lot of self-discipline, guys. Discipline others is easy. Discipline yourself, that's where the hard work begins. So I want everybody to write this down. My vision for tomorrow gives me discipline for today. What is your vision for your production? What is your vision for your production in your agency? That should give you the discipline to do what it's going to take today in order to make that vision come to pass. You see, guys, discipline, that's the bridge between goals and your accomplishments. How many of you are setting year-end goals with life insurance? Well, you've got to be able to have that bridge, and discipline is what it's going to take. You see, this is called the motivation minute. But let me tell you this, motivation gets you going, but discipline is going to keep you going. You've got to make sure you do the things today in order to be able to have that production for tomorrow. You will never always be motivated, guys. You must learn to be disciplined. So think about this. Discipline is simply choosing between what you want now and what you want most. So ask yourself, what do you want most when it comes to your production? And one more thing, self-discipline is when your conscience tells you to do something and you don't talk back. Stop talking back to your conscience when it tells you to make another call. Stop talking back to your conscience when it tells you to ask one more time to be able to overcome that objection. Then and only then will you have the success that you're looking for.
Steve, thank you so much. Now what do I say? So, Steve, we're going to change this segment for the rest of the year and call it, Now What Do I Say to Sell More Life Insurance?
Yep, Bill, it's October. You know, last month, we started Life Insurance Awareness Month, and agents were scrambling to write more life insurance to be able to make their bonus at the end of the year and also to travel. So now what do you say to sell more life insurance? I want to continue on with some of the things I was talking about on the earlier episodes. And we want to start talking about some of the mistakes that I see a lot of agents and team members make. And one of the mistakes I see them make is they make life insurance too complicated. Write this down, everyone. A confused mind does nothing. We are so busy trying to make ourselves seem so smart that we actually confuse the customer. We've got to learn how to make it very complicated so the customer understands what we are talking about. We've got to be able to meet the customer on their level. There are certain words that we should not be using. For those of you who have the War Room binder, you know what I'm talking about. There's a whole page listed called dirty words. We talk about the communication. Life insurance, that's a dirty word. Now, I'm not telling you to never use the word life insurance, but when you're talking with a customer and you keep saying the life insurance this and how much life insurance do you have and let's see how much life insurance, that's a dirty word. You got to replace that word with cash or money or income. So we've got to make sure that we're not using that word over and over again. In the Marine Corps, they would always tell me, Wilmer, you got to remember KISS. And I would say, what does KISS mean? They say, keep it simple, stupid. You got to make sure you keep it very simple when you're talking with your customer. Whole life, that's a dirty word. Term life, that's a dirty word. Making sure your family stays in the same lifestyle. All of these are dirty words. You know, I had the pleasure of meeting Richard Branson out in Vegas. And when I say meeting Richard Branson, I mean there was like 10,000 people and I saw him on stage. But here's the point, right? Here's what he said from stage. He says, any fool can make something complicated, but it takes a genius to keep things simple. So I promise you, how was I able to consistently issue over 100 life apps every single year is because I did not make it complicated. I kept it very simple. And even Albert Einstein said this, if you cannot explain it simply enough, then you don't understand it well enough. So remember to keep things simple.
Advice from an expert.
Hi, this is Bill Whitley. I'm the host of the Risk Advisor Mastermind Group. And for our Advice from an Expert segment, I am so excited to have Bradley Hamner with us today. Bradley is the Director of Coaching for Club Capital. Now, Club Capital works with over 300 insurance business owners to help them with their bookkeeping and their taxes and their analytics. And based on the needs of their clients, they have launched a business coaching division, and Bradley leads that division. So, Bradley, thanks so
so much for joining us today.
Bill, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. So Bradley, we're going to do a three-part series that's focused on creating the business structure that'll help you really build the agency of your dreams. And so part one, we're going to focus on leading yourself. So Bradley, tell us a little bit more about leading yourself.
So I don't think that you can give what you don't have. And so a lot of business owners, and especially insurance agency owners, will think about their life in two forms. They'll think about their life in terms of their work and in their life, their family, their friends. And what typically gets squeezed in the middle is their self. And if you can't give what you don't have, a lot of times people just won't work on developing themselves so they can be better for their team. And so for you to be the best leader for your organization and for your team, you must be able to work on yourself first.
Got it. That sounds really good. So tell me, what are some of the things that an agent would do if he wanted to work on himself?
So one of the first things that we talk about whenever we're working with a client is paying attention to your energy rhythms. And so a lot of times they'll think about what the prospects that they're reaching out to, when's the right time to reach out to them, when's the right time to have the appointment for them. But the reality is we all have a natural rhythm to our day. And that's based on probably a lot of people's sleep cycles. Some people tend to be able to get more done later in the afternoon. Other people love to be able to get things done first thing in the morning. And so if you're able to pay attention to your energy, so when are you at the peak state of your energy? And so therefore, what are the activities you should be doing? So we would call those like a front stage activity. One of those things would be obviously your world appointments whenever you're meeting with a client. Number two would be whenever you're meeting with your team. Those are the activities you want to do whenever you're at your peak energy state. Conversely, if you're looking at numbers, you're doing some planning, maybe doing reading, those are activities that you want to do whenever you're at your lowest energy state. And so just being able to have that framework and mindset for insurance agency owners has been a real game changer for people to say, no, I've never thought about actually when my energy goes up, when it goes down, and what activities I should be doing in either of those energy states.
You know, I just love that idea. It makes so much sense that, you know, we're nobody's ever at 100% all the time. And so what you're really saying is, hey, when you're at your best, let's do the most important things. And when you're not, you know, when you don't have that same energy, that's when you want to do some of the, you know, less critical things. I'm sure, you know, planning and reading and numbers are very important, but it's not a human interaction. And so it's just you. And so you don't have to be up and, you know, have the same energy.
Yeah, let me give you like an example. I mean, I love to get up early. I get up at 4:45. One of the first things I'll do is go work out. And so coming out of that workout, I was trying to, in my morning ritual, to fit in reading as an example. And I just quite frankly couldn't do it. I couldn't get myself to focus because it was some of my most creative time. So when I would do writing, when I would do planning, whenever I would do my most creative work was right after that workout. And so I moved reading to the middle of the day because right after lunch, right around lunch, so that 12 to 2, 2:30 time is not a good time for me. So I've actually put reading in the middle of my day. And of course, the very last thing at night. And that has been helped me so much. Whenever I schedule time with my team, one-to-ones, anytime I'm doing a front-facing activity, a front-stage activity, I want to do that when I have the most energy. Mm-hmm. And so just having an awareness of that is the most important thing.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Hey, Bradley, thanks for sharing that. Is there anything else regarding leading yourself you want to share?
Yeah, I do want to get into what we then extend out of once you talk about energy is your ideal work week. And so if you look at your week from a Sunday through a Saturday, getting in a few important blocks. Obviously, number one, meetings. You've got to be able to meet with your team. I don't think that is something that you can abdicate to somebody else. If you're the CEO of your business, one of the most important things you've got to do is your meetings. So we just talked about the energy. So when are you at your peak energy state? And so therefore, that's when you should schedule your team meetings and then your one-to-ones with your team. The second thing is obviously your appointment availability. Obviously, whenever you're conducting or your world appointment, when are you at your peak energy state? Do you have that time blocked off? Does your team know when they can actually set an appointment for you? So that's important. The other thing is, and this is kind of unique, I think one of the most important things you can do for your business is actually think on your business. So we call it thinking time. But a lot of people don't have that time scheduled. And so having just start with 1 hour once a week that you put on your calendar, you go to the same place and you actually think about your business. And so when you're doing thinking time, you want to start with a question. If you just walk in there and say, okay, this is the time I'm supposed to be thinking, then it's going to be unproductive. You'll probably be all over the place. But think on a question about the business. Use that first 45 minutes to write down all of your thoughts, and then use the last 15 minutes to actually organize those thoughts. And then lastly, quite frankly, when are you going to leave the office? And I know this sounds silly, but if you put on your calendar when you're going to leave the office, you can be better for your family whenever you're there. So putting on your calendar, this is time to leave, that artificial barrier, I think everybody can agree that the day before they go on vacation, they are the most productive. I know I certainly am. And so I wanted to create some artificial barriers for myself. And that's one of them. For me, I leave the office at 6 o'clock, no later than 6, to be home for my family. And so that's the other thing. So meetings, your appointment availability, thinking time, what time are you going to leave the office? And lastly is your weekly planning. So I call it a Sunday planning session. I do mine 2 hours on Sunday. Some people can do that first thing on Monday morning. Some people love to do it. I was working with a client just yesterday. He loves to do his Friday night at 8 o'clock. He will spend 2 hours Friday night from 8 to 10 planning his next week. Now that would never work for me, but it works for him. So whatever that is for you, put that in your ideal work week and then begin to iterate off of that. That's what I would suggest.
Fantastic. You know, Bradley, I just love this. I remember the concept when you're trying to save money of paying yourself first. You know, take that paycheck and pay yourself first. And what you're really kind of advocating here, and I just love it, is, you know, allocate time for yourself first. You know, with, you know, there's the appointments and all the things that we're doing with clients, but also you're saying, let's have a little bit of thinking time. Let's go ahead and block that out. And if we block it on the calendar, then other stuff is not going to creep in, and suddenly we don't have any time left, and now we don't have any thinking time. So I just really like that concept.
Absolutely. Yeah. And share that with your team. Share that with your team. I mean, and share it with your spouse and say, hey, this is what my ideal work week looks like. I mean, you're not going to have, we're not trying to go after perfection here. Okay. We're just after progress, not perfection. And so, but if you don't know what an ideal week even looks like, you're certainly not going to have one. And so, just getting some of those key blocks into your schedule, into your week, and then sharing that with yourself, obviously, with your team, and with your spouse would be really important.
Fantastic. Hey, Bradley, I really appreciate you. So part one that we just finished was on leading yourself. Part two, next month, we'll be talking about how to gain more clarity. And part three, it will be on focused execution. So, Bradley, if somebody wants to work with Club Capital and they want help on these concepts, what would they do?
Absolutely easiest thing to do is email our team at coaching@club.capital. Email us at coaching@club.capital, and we'll respond to you within just a few hours.
Sounds great. And I want to reiterate, that's coaching@club.capital. There's no .com. It's .capital. So coaching@club.capital. Bradley, I really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much.
It's been a lot of fun. Thanks, Bill.
Sure.
And now, here's our top agent interview.
Hi, this is Bill Whitley. I'm the host of the Risk Advisor Mastermind Group, and I'm so excited to have Mitch Mamoser with us today. Mitch has only been a State Farm agent for 1.5 years, and he was a team member for 20 months before that. But in his first year, his agency traveled level 3. He achieved Chairman Circle. They are in the top 10 of all the new agents in the country, and he finished number 7 in life insurance for all new agents. So, Mitch, congratulations, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it, and happy to be on here.
So start off and tell us a little bit about your agency. Just give us a quick establishing shot.
Yeah, so I've And I'm located in Olney, Illinois, which is about 2 hours from Indianapolis, 2 hours from St. Louis, 3 hours south of Chicago. Very small town, about 9,000 people. I grew up in a town of Newton, Illinois, which is about a half hour north of me. So pretty small town, rural community. And as far as the team setup goes, right now I've got three team members with me, kind of one and a half service or two that take care of the service, and then one full-time sales.
Got it. So one sales, one and a half service. And, you know, congratulations on, you know, traveling level three in Chairman Circle right there in your very first year and being in the top 10 new agents. Give us a little glimpse into that. How'd you do that?
Sure. So a lot of credit. I mean, I grew up with three brothers and two successful parents. So with three brothers, obviously, we're all very involved in athletics. And I ended up competing at the University of Illinois on the track team where I pole vaulted there for all 4 years. So with my family, we grew up playing basketball, baseball, football, golf, you name it. If there was something that we could compete in, we did it. So I'm the third of four boys. And then I had the chance after college to go through the agent aspirant program where I learned from TJ Tingley, who's an agent in Robinson, Illinois. So I was with him for, I think like you mentioned, about 20 months. I knew going into it exactly what I wanted to do. So probably one of the few people who I knew out of college, this is what I wanted to do. And the reason being is my dad has actually been a country financial agent in my hometown for 34 years, I believe now. He still does it. So he's ultra successful within country's organization. So I grew up with it, going on their trips, and knew what the lifestyle entailed. So that was a big driver for me, was to be able to, you know, provide a lifestyle or to coach my kids one day, kind of like what my dad did for me. So it came pretty natural and pretty blessed to be able to bounce ideas off of him along with TJ or some other close agents in our area.
Very good. And I got to ask, that's awesome that you're a pole vaulter. In high school, I ran cross country. And so I was this skinny little guy, ran long distance, but I always wanted to pole vault. And my cross-country coach never wanted me to, but they let me. I think at one time I pole vaulted like 11 feet. So
nice.
Tell me.
Hey, that's not bad.
Yeah, I got the pole to bend just a little tiny bit. But anyway, what was your highest vault?
The highest I ever jumped was 17 feet, 3 inches.
Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable.
But my younger brother makes it well known that he's got the family record now because he's at Indiana University. So
got it.
Still, the competitiveness never quits.
That's great. Well, 17 feet, 3, man, that's amazing. And good for you.
Thank you. It's
funny. You can follow all these different interests. And on Instagram, one of the things I follow is pole vaulting. And I'll get these little videos of some dude going down there and just doing these amazing vaults. And, you know, they're pushing up off the pole. And the pole is like 3 or 4 feet lower than the bar. And they're
absolutely
still, they have so much momentum when they go shooting up there. So anyway, I love to watch it.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. Thanks for sharing that. So give us a little insight. So you grew up with three brothers, always competitive, playing sports and all that sort of thing. Your dad is a successful country financial agent. So take us into your agency a little bit. How did you pull it off? How did you travel level three in your first year?
Yeah, I mean, looking back, sometimes I wonder how I did it as well, but I mean, for me, the biggest thing is just being active. I've never wanted to be the agent that is super comfortable. So for me, I look at it as an opportunity to truly impact lives and get to know our customers. So I think it's easy year one going into it, setting meetings. I mean, for me, butts in chairs is my number one thing. I mean, it was get people in the door. And everybody was really receptive to it. Just simply outbound calls. I mean, reaching out, going, hey, I haven't had a chance to meet you. I wanted to get together, wanted to make sure we're covering our bases. I don't want to run into any gaps or concerns or discounts that we're missing. So when's a good time we can get together? And my whole philosophy was I wanted to meet with between 3 and 5 people every single day in year one. You know, so a lot of the financial production came from that. However, I mean, with that being said, I went through my fair share of turnover in year one with team members. So, I mean, I'm probably at my lowest point right now with team members that I've been. So I was able to have, I almost always had full-time salespeople in year one and 1 to 2 service people. So I do try to separate sales and service to the best that I can. You know, the service being they should be setting meetings or Google reviews or referrals, taking care of underwriting issues. Sales is raw new, meaning it's pretty high activity with outbound calling. So my sales team has always been able to lead the PNC production, which has allowed me to have the financial conversations and run those reviews with current customers.
Got it. So, you know,
and I guess the other thing I would add, Bill, is like I was fairly fortunate to walk into a book of business where it's a very established office. I mean, there was an agent here for probably 35 years, and then there was another agent that took over from him, and she was here for almost 5 years. And when she left is when I was able to step in, and I'm in a town close enough to where we competed. I mean, I competed against a lot of the people in this community. So I knew some of the people throughout the community. They knew me or they knew of me. So that helped. And the other part is both of the agents left on really good terms, and they wrote a lot of PNC and nobody asked about life insurance.
Right. Very good. So I'm really impressed. 3 to 5 appointments per day, which means you're doing anywhere from 15 to 25 per week, which is a lot of appointments. So a couple things I'd like to know. First of all, if you worked with TJ Tingley, I know he's a big fan of Your World, and I think you are too. So in those appointments, are you primarily doing the Your World conversation, or you do something different? How do you run your reviews?
Yeah, so I am, for the most part. I have tweaked it. It's not spot on. I talked to Steve Wilmer about it a little bit once, because I have changed it a little bit. I still use the 7 risk and get to that point. Once I get to the risk categories, that conversation is pretty much identical to the Your World. I've just tweaked the beginning. But yeah, I mean, every single conversation that I go through is identical outside of what their world looks like. I mean, that's the only way it can stray, but otherwise it's pretty repetitive. I mean, pretty repetitive. It can get monotonous, but I would say that's a good thing. I mean, I want everybody making the sandwich the exact same way in here.
Yeah. Yeah. So great. So, I'm thrilled to hear you using Your World. And, you know, I hear a lot of agents say, I've tweaked it like this or that. And I think that's great. You want to make it your own and make it fit you and your team like a glove. Tell me about the appointments. And it sounds like, you know, you took over the book. And so hey, I want to meet with you. I want to make sure we're covering our bases. I want to make sure we're not missing any gaps or missing any discounts. Tell me about appointment setting. Do you set your own appointments, or is the team, or, you know, how do you get 15 to 25 people to come in each week?
Sure. So early on it was, I'm set up to where I've got 2 gals up front, and we get a decent amount of walk-in traffic. And any time early on when I was in here, they were constantly like, you know, hey, have you met with Mitch, our new agent? If they haven't, it was simply, well, he's meeting with everybody. What's your schedule look like? When's a good day we can get you in here? I mean, it was kind of non-negotiable.
Right.
And I wanted to meet with them. So early on, they set a lot of them. They kept my calendar full to where I didn't have to. here recently, kind of going into the year two or towards the end of year one, I put a lot more focus on developing the team and the training and kind of getting my team to a point to where I didn't have the turnover like I did. So now it's to a point to where they still will recognize those opportunities because I haven't met with everybody yet. I still haven't got through them. But if I look up on my calendar and go, I don't have a whole lot, I don't have anything in the next 4 days, I mean, I will block off. I won't leave the office until I set some appointments, and I'll go through, I'll print off a list, and I will call until I've set four or five. And typically people are pretty receptive to it because I'm a mess. So if I look at my calendar and it's empty, I mean, that's my job. I'll block off an hour or 2 hours and say, don't distract me. If I'm not meeting with people, I don't know what else I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. I love that. Talk about, let me shift gears a little bit. You've had some turnover, and I know that's one of the biggest challenge all the agents face. How do you recruit top-notch team members? Tell me about that.
That's a challenge. So early on, I mean, right away, my first two hires were probably hired a little bit out of desperation. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you. They worked. I don't regret it because they produced PNC. But they didn't end up working out long-term. Neither of them stayed. And then from a network standpoint, obviously I still use like the career plug and what probably most State Farm agents will use, things like that. One of my next hires, one of my better ones, he was a member of the track and field team at Indiana University where my younger brother is. And I just got to know him through Indiana. He actually moved from California to Illinois. So that's kind of a rare occurrence, but he was very good producer. He didn't end up staying that long. So that was kind of unexpected. And then right now I've hired a guy who was on Illinois' track team. He's a close buddy of mine, and it just worked out to where he was ready to make a career change. And, so he was a member of the track team. The other two, the one that's been with me from day one, Shelly, I happened to catch her, whenever this office was a task. So kind of right before I started, we had a nice conversation. Our lifestyles were very similar. And she's been with me from day one and truthfully is kind of the rock of the office. So, has been the one constant.
Yeah.
She can do the service. She knows the sales side of things, but can help with everything.
Yeah.
So she's from the area. And then currently I have another one she is from the area as well.
But it's
still a challenge. I mean, I'm currently, if I could hire two other people, I would, but I cannot find the right people. So I recently started using Can They Sell.
Right. Excellent. And I know Steve Suggs and Can They Sell is such a good way to evaluate potential team members. Hey, just one quick thought for you. I remember interviewing Justin Cook. He's a big baseball fan.
Sure.
And so he got to know the baseball coaches of a couple universities, and he would always say, you know, hey, you know, I'm always looking for that sort of number two, you know, the B player that just worked so hard to be on the team. And that's, you know, and if you know somebody like that, that's the kind of person I'd like to hire. And so I wonder if you could develop a good relationship, since you have such a great interest in track and pole vault. Could you develop a relationship with the track coach and the pole vault coach and use that as a recruiting tool?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I've thought about this. What's tough is like, so I'm not really close to Champaign, Illinois. I mean, I'm 2 hours from there. So my challenge is always getting people that want to live in the middle of nowhere, in a small town. So that's tough. We do have a community college here in Olney, which is great. And that is kind of my next move, is to get more involved with the college. Unfortunately, they only have a basketball and baseball team.
Got it.
And there's one other State Farm agent in Olney, and she's been an agent for I think a little over 30 years, and her husband is the head baseball coach in the AD. So I give her a hard time. I'm like, you got to share a little bit with me.
Yeah. Very good. Well, I tell you what, those college relationships with coaches or whoever it might be can be so powerful in terms of, you know, kind of handpicking some of the best ones. So anyway, good luck with that. Let me move on. Are there any specific processes that you've put in place that have really helped you guys, you know, make Chairman Circle and travel at level three?
So when I was a team member, we went to a class with TJ where basically developed the script and as far as outbound calling goes. I have my raw new sales team members. I mean, we have developed this script and we tweak it, but we have found it to where I learned it from another agent, kind of made it my own, what fit our community, but we stick to the script. I mean, here's our strong opening statement. You know, you got to be ready for the objection. So it's, what are those objections and how do we overcome them? So being able to beat any objection that's thrown at us. And then knowing where to pivot in the conversation to the applications. And it is, to me, that has to be developed. That's got to be the same for any new agent or for any new team member that comes in. So from a raw new sales standpoint, we have a word track, we have a script, we stick to it. I've used it for every team member that's come in. And that does help take some of the training time off of me. They have the capability to watch these video modules online. So that's helped me a lot.
And tell us about that. I know you attended the SWAT class, and I'm such a big fan of Kirk Fuquay. Is that the sales, the raw new script you're talking about, or is something different?
It is. Yep. Nope. It is that. We've just tweaked it. Again, similar to like what we've done with the Your World. I mean, we have tweaked it to where we have made it our own. That was the foundation for sure. And I think the biggest eye-opening, I mean, not even because I don't know that there's any silver lining or silver bullets with the word track. It was more of a mindset for me going, you know, what are these top producing agents doing that other people, you know, that I'm not doing, or, you know, are they any more capable than what I am? And I don't necessarily think they are. So it's just having that with me, with my new salespeople, we keep it very, very simple. My philosophy is call, quote, meet, repeat. So if you're not calling, you're either quoting or you're in a meeting. If you're not quoting, you're either in a meeting or calling. And if you're not in a meeting, you're either calling or quoting.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, there is nothing else. And I take away all of the distractions, all of the service work from them. You know, I'm like, dude, get it right on the front end. Because if you don't get it right on the front end, you're never going to have time to fix it. So try to clean up the underwriting. But that is my philosophy with the raw new sales is there is nothing else you're doing. So if I look at the end of the day, if I'm not in the office and I go and I see he made 25 phone calls, he had one quote and had no meetings, I'm going, okay, what did we spend our time doing all day?
Right.
It's pretty simple. So just looking at it from that perspective, and really just winning each day. I mean, I think it's hard to set goals that are a month out or whatnot. It just, hey, did you win the day? And for me, it was four quotes in a day. That is winning the day. Early on. Now it's more production. But that was my raw new sales. For me, it was just having my regular meetings.
Got it. Excellent. I love that, and I love the simplicity of it. Win each day. And what do we mean by that? Well, that's four quotes per day. So way to go. What about your team meetings? Do you guys have any type of meeting rhythm? Do you meet each morning, or how do you kind of keep the team motivated, keep them trained, and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so we meet. We do try to meet every single morning. And now I'll be the first to tell you, I probably slip on a few mornings, or if I'm not here, but especially in my first year, we met every single morning as a team. Sometimes it's 20 minutes. Sometimes it was an hour. Just depends on what we got talking about. Typically, it was Monday motivation. Tuesday was sales. Wednesday might be ECRM. Thursday would be wins, learns, and losses, along with product updates. And Friday was kind of a free-for-all.
Very good. I think that's such great structure, and I love the meeting rhythm of a daily morning meeting. So way to go. What about habits? Are there any particular habits that you've developed that have allowed you to succeed to the level you're succeeding?
I mean, I think, I don't know necessarily me personally. I do feel that it's come fairly natural just having grown up with it. From a team member perspective, I gravitate towards athletes. I've tried my fair share of team members, and I think they've got to be able to deal with adversity. It's not necessarily just athletes. I mean, there can be other people. I can just relate to that. But just the adversity, the ups and downs, the sales cycle, I mean, it's waves, ride it as long as you can. So it's just the ability to think long-term. Like for me, I've never doubted that I've never had a backup plan, I guess, Bill. It's, this is what I'm going to be doing for the next 35 or 40 years. And I'm just going to grow from it. So every new customer I bring in, it's, hey, I'm going to be here for 40 years, so we better get along.
All right. Right.
But just the competitive grind to, this is what it takes to run a business. I mean, it's, keep it simple. This makes money. This doesn't make money. Is this a distraction?
Right.
So
right.
It's a different type of, to me, this is a different type of relationship industry.
Yeah.
We don't get a chance to see him more than a couple times a year. It's like you get into finances and meeting number one, the first time you ever meet someone, and it's like, maybe they don't want to share. Maybe they're not comfortable sharing, or you're getting too personal. And my philosophy is, you're probably not going to want to come see me in 2 weeks or in 6 weeks again. So I got one chance. And if I don't address it right now, and something happens, that's on me.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Way to go. Let me move on with just a couple of last quick little questions. And my next to last question is, you know, there's so many new agents that would love to make Chairman Circle. They'd love to travel at the highest level. They'd love to be in the top 10. If a new agent came to you and said, hey, Mitch, what advice would you give me to make it into the top 10 or to make Chairman Circle? What advice would you give a new agent?
For me, I guess I would just say, have a process, stick to it. Just do the right thing day in and day out. And you've got to trust that whatever happens, it happens. I mean, for me, it was not a goal to be a top 10 Tika, or of course I want to be, but at the end of the day, I can't control that right out of the gate or day in, day out. What I can control is what I do each and every day and how I develop my team. So it's, have a process, think big, do the little things, because those little things add up, and just focus on what's right in front of you, the opportunity that you have at hand. The most important person is the one that's right in front of you. So, yeah, I mean, just do the right thing day in and day out. Go home every day and say, I did everything that I could do today. I did my absolute best. And at the end of the day, whatever happens, happens, and you're going to be successful. If you can look back at the end of the day before you go to bed and say, I did everything I could do today, to the best of my knowledge and the best of my ability, it's going to work out.
Yeah. I love the simplicity of it. Again, you said, have a process, stick to it, and then do the right thing day in and day out. I think that's great advice. Last question, and that's just simply, is there anything that I did not ask you
that you'd like to share with our Mastermind group members?
No, I mean, it's, I guess I just, it hasn't been all unicorns and rainbows, I guess, for me. You know, everybody goes through their challenges, and yes, I've been very fortunate to have the year that I've had and have the year that I'm having again currently. But with that being said, it's, I think the company does a phenomenal job with the competitiveness among other agents and showing the stack rankings or the front run or whatnot. And it's easy to get caught up in that. And that has been, you know, that's been a challenge for me, but it, at the end of the day, you've got to find something that you go home with and you're at peace with. You know, I'm not always going to be at the top, or, you know, there's always going to be somebody who is better than I am or produces more. So it's just, yeah, I think finding that inner peace and what really drives you. Why are you ultimately doing this? Because the scoreboard can really stress somebody out.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Hey, Mitch, this has been a great interview, and I really appreciate you sharing today. And so thanks so much. I know our Mastermind members can really appreciate your comments.
Now, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And thanks for everything you guys have taught us.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I appreciate you, and I look forward to talking again soon. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bill.
This program is sponsored by Agent's Choice.
So guys, think about it. When I was a State Farm team member, I would write the auto policy and I would be so excited that I made a sale and I was going to be able to hit my auto production numbers. And then later, when it went through underwriting, sometimes I would find out that it was declined and I knew I had lost that sale and I would most likely never hear from the customer again, right? We've all been there. Guys, right now, Agent's Choice is the answer. Think about it. Have you ever had a customer talk about an SR22 or insuring a vacant home or some other type of high-risk situation? Well, Agent's Choice is a referral-based independent agency, but it's designed to help you turn today's declines into tomorrow's customers. They don't cross-sell. They're going to build a long-term relationship with you and a short-term relationship with your referral. So to learn more about their referral program and how Agent's Choice can benefit your agency, give them a call. 1-800-935-7332. Use the code BOOTCAMP. I'll say it again. 1-800-935-7332. Use the code BOOTCAMP, or you can visit them on the web at www.agentschoice.com.
As we wrap up, I want to thank you for joining us on this edition of your Agency Ideas and Inspiration Digital Magazine. Now, if you guys have not had an onboarding call or a virtual Your World preview, I encourage you to set this up immediately. The virtual Your World is a game changer. Everybody who sees it loves it. And by the way, this call is a chance for us to learn more about your agency, your goals, your biggest challenges. And once we understand that, we're going to share several ideas with you that'll help you overcome some of your biggest challenges and achieve your biggest goals. Now, to set this call up, simply email info@riskadvisorinstitute.com.
And guys, next month is November, and we are starting our next infantry training school group coaching. This will be the Foxtrot class, and our first session starts on November 2nd. Now, you've heard how infantry training school has made such an impact for Heather and other agents and team members. So to enroll your team, reach out to me. Again, my cell phone, 850-292-6729. Or send me an email with your questions, steve@riskadvisorinstitute.com.
So on behalf of the Risk Advisor Mastermind Group, I'm Bill Whitman.
And I am Steve Wilmer.
Thanks for joining us on this edition. We look forward to sharing more agency growth ideas and insights next month.
See you soon.
Agency Growth Ideas and Insights is a production of the Risk Advisor Institute, powered by Steve Speaks. Executive producer and writer of this program is me, Bill Whitley. Special thanks to Steve Wilmer for his amazing content expertise. Our audio engineer is Wade Starnes of GAT3 Studios. Music and scoring assistance also by Wade Starnes.